1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Along with Nick Friedell, Jonathan Hood with you on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. It's now time for our Bulls NBA intervention because we believe that you need help. As much as Nick Friedell tweets and I tweet and Facebook and email messages, we just felt that we need a Bulls intervention tonight with Bulls fans because a lot of you, when we tell you that the Bulls don't have money, apparently you don't believe us.
Hoodie, there is so much frustration within the fan base right now for a lot of different reasons. It stems back to the fact that Derek got hurt, and nobody can quite get over it, and it's understandable. He's the MVP of the league. He's the guy that everybody else takes their cues from. It's just tough to swallow. But if you're the Bulls, there are people that are furious with the fact that they let C.J. Watson go. Basically, they waived him because they didn't want to pick up his option for $3.2
million. Next guy up.
They let Ronnie Brewer walk.
Next guy up.
And they let Kyle Korver get traded to Atlanta.
We'll be fine.
That is what happened. People want to bring back that core and say, all right, go into the luxury tax, go into the luxury tax, go into the luxury tax. Here's the argument I would make to Bulls fans, and you and I have been making for a month. You take those three pieces, and you say, all right, well, Ronnie Brewer had a backup in place already in Jimmy Butler. And Ronnie Brewer had fallen in the doghouse so badly with Tom Thibodeau that he was benched during Game 3 of the playoffs against Philadelphia. So Jimmy Butler comes in, and yes, he's cheaper, so bash away at the organization if you really wanted Ronnie Brewer. But that plan had been in place since the middle of last year. Jimmy Butler was coming in. Kyle Korver is the one guy that you could really be upset with that he's not back. But even then, you and I would agree on Kyle Korver regressed at times, Hoodie.
Took a step backwards.
He regressed at times, and he wasn't making shots. Tom liked him. He didn't trust him all the time, though, because he wasn't making shots. His $5 million price tag was too much. The Bulls don't necessarily have a guy to replace him. So bash away. C.J. Watson, the third guy on that list, he also fell into Tom's doghouse during the playoffs. He struggled with his consistency. And the Bulls feel like they got an upgrade with Kirk Heinrich coming back into the fold. Now, Bulls fans could debate that all they want. But those three guys are the guys that are gone, and those are the three guys that everybody's up in arms. Why didn't you go into the luxury tax to sign them? I've said it before. I'll say it again. If you're the Bulls, why make a move this season that would put you in bad shape for the future? Why do it if you know you're not going to win a title this year? And maybe that's part of the intervention. That's part of the reality, Hoodie. Fans need to understand that this team is not going to win this season. It's not going to happen. The only way they can get better is via free agency if they clear out enough cap space or if they make a big trade. And I don't see either one of those things happening in the next year and a half, and it's just a hard reality for Bulls fans to have to face.
This is the offseason of cap space, Bulls fans and C-Red Nation. This is the offseason of cap space, and you're just trying to get under the cap versus going deep in the luxury tax for mediocrity. That's something that you won't do. If you're going to go deep in the luxury tax, you better find quality to get past or at least challenge the Miami Heat, because that's what it all comes down to. The Heat are the champions. They're the head of the East. So instead of just getting mediocrity and just going sideways, you want to be able to go up as much as possible with quality on your roster. There's nothing in free agency right now that's worth you going deep into the luxury tax for, because what it comes down to is, are you close to the Miami Heat? This is the same conversation that we had coming into last season, is saying, are you close to the Miami Heat? And a lot of you believe that they were, even though Nick and I did not believe that, because it all comes down to scores. Something else that we want to reveal to you, if you haven't heard, that's coming up next about maybe what Gar Forman and John Paxson are thinking about as far as their overall roster. We'll get to that coming up next. Jonathan and Nick on ESPN 1000. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, or ESPN Shy Bulls, as we keep you company until 10 o'clock. 312-332-ESPN is our telephone number. We're having a Bulls NBA intervention. We are trying to explain to you that the Bulls don't have money, yet there are still tweets and emails and also phone calls saying that the Bulls need to spend money when they don't have any money to spend. FaZe is in Melrose Park on ESPN 1000. Hello, FaZe.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm well.
That's good. Quick question. If you're picking up a player off of a waiver, you don't need necessarily a lot of money, right?
You need cap space, FaZe.
Oh, so you cannot pick up Luis Scola?
No.
Not without money.
They're not under the cap.
How are they going after Darko now?
Because Darko was probably going to sign for the veterans minimum at $1.3 million.
That's what the Bulls have.
That's what the Bulls have, that, mm-hmm. like every other team. But that, you know, it's an interesting starting point for our intervention here, Hoodie.
Yes, it is.
Because everybody out there, all the Bulls fans want to say, why didn't you go after Scola? Why didn't you go after Elton Brand, Kamen, whoever was amnestied? Why didn't you make a play for one of these guys to get them in the fold here? You have to have cap space to do that.
And the Bulls just don't have that.
They don't have any cap space.
I'm gonna give you something that we have not talked about. I've been thinking about. You know when basketball hell started for the Bulls?
When?
The summer of LeBron. And here's, you know why that is? Is because as soon as LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh decided to all take their talents to Miami, then the Bulls are already going to get B-level free agents. And again, nothing against Carlos Boozer at the time, because Garpax actually did their due diligence in getting someone that can give you 16, 17 points a game, albeit him being a Western Conference player, a guy that is it will score 17 and give up 25. But you had to do something offensively, so you got that. And the same thing going to the Utah Jazz, well, one more time, getting Kyle Korver. That was not a bad signing. It's just that it's not a sign that it has paid dividends and as our franchise changing players. So basketball hell did not start this offseason. It started last season or the summer of LeBron, because you knew even with that group was not on the same level as three stars on one team.
The bowling ball started spinning down.
Sure.
Down the hill, Hoodie. You're absolutely right. And it's what I've been arguing for a while, and it's what I've been saying all along. Once those guys made the decision to go there, everybody wants to crush Gar and Pax. They did the best they could under the circumstances. They tried to build a team with different guys under whatever was left. And everybody says, oh, they should have done this, they should have done that. I want somebody to call in or tweet us, ESPN Shy Bulls, tweet Jay Hood, send us an email, call the show, it doesn't matter. Tell me what you want the Bulls to do right now that would get them over to a title. What in the next 2 years do you want them to do? Because as long as LeBron and Wade and Bosh are in Miami, they're just stuck. They're stuck. You're telling me that going deep into the luxury tax to keep C.J. Watson and Kyle Korver and Ronnie Brewer is going to get you out? It's going to get you to where you need to be?
Just no. Not. It's great for regular season games in November and December, but when the money's on the table, it's about stars, and the Bulls don't have enough stars to make an impact. Again, the try-hard players are great, and it's great for Tom Thibodeau because he can coach those guys. But he's going to have to be able, at some point, you'd hope, to coach multiple guys that can score in the area of 15 to 20 points a game and can score the ball as much as Derrick Rose does.
Right. Well, and that's Hoodie, I know you and I agree on this, but to the fans, as we're having this intervention, that's what I don't understand. People say, bring back Watson, Korver, Brewer. They're not going to help you win in the playoffs. It's not going to happen. You're banging your head against the wall.
Ray has SportsCenter on ESPN 1000. Along with Nick Friedell, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 at ESPNChicago.com. Hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, or ESPN Shy Bulls, or write your thoughts on our Facebook wall, facebook.com. Look for Jonathan Hood. Look for Nick Friedell as we talk to you about the Bulls and our NBA intervention still to come. We're going to hear from Larry Kuhn, ESPN NBA salary cap experts, to try to figure out what the Bulls, and again, if you don't believe what we're saying about the money situation with the Bulls, Larry Kuhn's an expert with dollars and cents He'll tell you.
Listen to Larry. Yeah, yeah. We've only been saying the same thing for about a year, but Larry knows all as far as salary cap is concerned. So talk to him. Ask him those questions.
That means we're going to have to slide a third chair in for the circle. Because
we got open that door. Yes. Let somebody else come in.
Yes,
here.
Let Larry Kuhn come in and try to talk to you because, again, we know that we're talking to you, the C-Red Nation, and Bulls fans. And by the way, there's a difference in the two.
There is.
Bulls fans are Bulls fans that have been diehard for a long time. C-Red Nation are the ones that are over the top about what's and not really understanding what's going on, begging for certain players and knowing that you don't have the money for it, but you're still begging for it anyway. That's C-Red Nation, and that's a major problem. There's two different fandoms when it comes to the Bulls, for sure. Bob in Naperville on ESPN 1000. Hello, Bob.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good.
So I was just wondering, what do you, in your opinion, do you think the Bulls should go after Michael Redd or T-Mac?
Well, Michael Redd has been often injured as well as Tracy McGrady. The question is, though, is that if they want to come into the veterans minimum, they want to come in for 1-3, that'd be fine. I don't think they want to do that, though. Even Michael Redd.
That's part of the issue, Hoodie. The Bulls will take pretty much anybody. They have four or five roster spots, depending on what happens with Omara Sheik and that offer sheet, that they still have to fill. And we'll talk to Larry in a few minutes here about what they have the availability to even do. But, yeah, if those guys want to play for the veterans minimum, the Bulls are going to have an interest at this point.
Andrew Winnetka on ESPN 1000. Hello, Drew.
Hey there, guys. Nick, I read your stuff today. It was great. But why don't they just amnesty Boozer and just really start over rather than just kind of, as you call it, basketball hell, where they'll probably draft 16th or 17th and get nobody who really does anything, you know, major. And just why don't they just wash it out and be a bad team for, you know, until Rose is healthy and let him sit out the whole season rather than just kind of halfway through, you know, not doing it all, but only doing part of it.
I don't agree with that. I think that even as we talk about this Bulls team as it's presently put together, they try to fill spots for the bench. When Rose comes back, you're still able to win at least one playoff series. I would rather be stuck in basketball hell in that you win a series than to be Charlotte or be Sacramento.
To completely gut yourself.
I don't want to do that.
Well,
I don't think that's fair to Derrick Rose. That retards the progress of what Derrick Rose is trying to do.
Here's the thing, and nobody has crushed Carlos Boozer more in the city than I have in the last couple years.
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you this, Carlos can still get you 15 or 20 points a game. He can do it, and he can still get you 8 or 10 rebounds a game. When you're playing without Derrick Rose for a big chunk of the season, you may have to play without Lou Aldang for a big chunk of the season. Why let him go when you know at least he may not play defense, but he can get you 15 or 20 and 10 almost every night?
Let's point this out, because I teased this before. Let me just point this out, something that is not talked enough about. The Bulls are in a position where everybody's expendable on this basketball team, everybody except Derrick Rose. I don't believe that Gar Foreman has the phone down and not picking up the phone and at least asking, hey, I want to improve my basketball team. Are you interested in Lou Aldang? Are you interested in Joakim Noah? Because I need to move some of this cap space as fast as possible. Is it fair for me to say that there has been conversations that Gar has had to try to get some of this money off the books?
There's no doubt about it, Hoodie.
Okay.
There's no doubt about it. I tell you this. The only untouchable on this team is Derrick Rose. Everyone else is part of a conversation. Everyone else is a possibility. And Gar would tell you right now, he wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't try to at least make those phone calls and see what was out there. But the only untouchable on this roster is Derrick, and that's why you will continue to hear the rumors pop up about everybody else, because the Bulls have had those conversations, Elba, and they'll continue to do so.
The Bulls don't have any money. Don't believe us? Listen to Larry Kuhn next with Jonathan and Nick on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's Game Night on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Jonathan and Nick on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com, Tweet Jay Hood, or ESPN Shy Bulls. We continue to try to tell Bulls fans and NBA fans about what's going on with the Bulls, but in our intervention, we decided to bring in someone else to fill the third chair in our circle.
The real expert.
Yes. We brought in Larry Kuhn, ESPN NBA salary cap expert, with us here on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com as we have our Bulls intervention. Hello, Larry.
How you doing, guys?
Thanks for coming in our circle. We appreciate it.
Anytime. I tried to find a quiet spot here. I'm at the Summer Pro League in Las Vegas right now, and I found out that there are no quiet spots around here, so I apologize if there's any background noise.
No, it's okay. It adds to the ambiance because we are talking ball anyway. Just talk to us a little bit, Nick, about, you know, let's talk a little bit about this whole thing with the salary cap, right?
Well, Larry and I have been going back and forth for about a month now, and Larry, let's start here. Omer Ashik's offer sheet is what has a lot of fans in Chicago in an uproar. Explain to people who don't understand out there why it would be so tough for the Bulls to swallow the $25 million offer sheet that Houston offered them compared to how the Rockets can spread out the money.
You got it. Let's take this back really quickly a couple of years. It used to be that when a team had a restricted free agent that had only 1 or 2 years in the league, another team could swoop in and give a bigger offer sheet than they could match because they only had the more limited form of those bird rights or the mid-level exception to give the player, and they couldn't give any more money. Other teams with tons of cap room could just come in and give the player a big offer sheet, and the other team couldn't match. That happened with, one good example is Golden State with Gilbert Arenas back when Washington signed him away. So they changed the rule after that. They made it so that with players in that situation, if a team wanted to come in with an offer sheet, they had to make the first year of the offer sheet down at the mid-level. So the original team can match it with the mid-level exception or match it with those early bird rights. So that way they're guaranteed that as long as they have those rights or that exception, they can always match the contract. But that doesn't protect the player because the player would have made a lot of money. So what they did was they made it so that the first 2 years had to be low, and then the third year could have a big jump in salary, which is what you're seeing here now. You're seeing, like New York with Jeremy Lin, Houston comes in with an offer sheet that's at that mid-level for those first couple of years, and then a huge balloon payment in that third year, and that makes it a little bit tougher for teams to match. Combine that with another rule this year, which is the progressive luxury tax, where instead of a dollar for dollar, teams are now paying tons of money. It can go up $275, $325 per dollar, depending on how far above the tax line you are. And then if you're a repeater, if you pay tax 3 out of 4 years, you're considered a repeater, and they add another buck to that rate. So it can get exorbitant. New York could have been facing a $70 million tax bill for Jeremy Lin alone, depending on where they were. So that seems like one of the factors in James Dolan and the Knicks deciding to let him go. Now the Bulls are facing the same thing with Omer Ashik because they are right at the tax line right now. They don't want to be taxpayers at all, let alone pay huge tax rates. So, I had a chat with a few of the Bulls people here, and I couldn't get an indication for them either way if they're going to match or not. But, they did say that's a lot of money.
Larry, what is it, and you touched on it a little bit there, but what is it that makes the luxury tax so much more punitive than it had been in the previous collective bargaining agreement?
Well, remember in the new agreement, in the old agreement, there was a big disparity between the small market teams and the big market teams. And the small market teams were saying, hey, we're losing money. We can't make money in this environment. And we can't compete for players. We can't compete for titles. So one of the changes they tried to make in the new agreement was to make it so that any team, all 30 teams, if they're managed well, could be financially profitable and also compete for a title. The luxury tax is one of the legs of that whole plan to make it better on teams, where if teams are up in the luxury tax, clearly it wasn't punitive enough before because the big market teams were still spending it. So they upped the ante. They made it so that it's not just punitive, it's really, really punitive, and we'll see if that stops them. I think for the most part this is going to, we just saw New York turn down Jeremy Lin and all of Lin's sanity and, all the market capitalization that brought to the company, let alone the basketball value. Yeah, he had a 25-30 game sample, and it's too early to tell, and that's a lot to pay for him. But a team like the Knicks were always the one team where you thought they didn't really care about the luxury tax. As long as MSG, the parent company, was profitable, they were going to still pay that tax, and it turns out they didn't. So, you know, the exorbitant nature of that tax has got to be one of their considerations. So in that regard, I think the big luxury tax is starting to do its job.
Larry Kuhn, ESPN NBA salary cap expert, with Jonathan and Nick on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Larry, one of the other things that you and I have bounced back and forth recently is this. Let's say the Bulls don't match Omer Asik. There are still a lot of people out there that wish they would have kept Kyle Korver, kept Ronnie Brewer, kept C.J. Watson, kept that bench mob core in place. If you keep all those guys, though, once you hit into the luxury tax this year, you're paying dollar for dollar what you go over in that baseline. Is that correct?
Yeah, they gave teams a two-year grace period on that progressive luxury tax, where last year it was still dollar for dollar. This year it's still dollar for dollar. Starting next year, it starts to go up. And the repeater rate doesn't even kick in for another couple of years. So, you know, teams do have time to adjust. The Bulls could have brought back people, not paid the dollar for dollar tax, and been able to survive. Now, from what I'm hearing, they're just dead set against the paying the tax at all, and they're trying to make their moves with being a non-taxpayer as one of their principal concerns. And it seems like that's what they're doing. Now, you know, if they were going to be able to trade a Carlos Boozer and get rid of his contract, that might have been a different consideration for keeping everybody else. But, you know, from what I've heard, they've not really found anything for Carlos that they would be interested in. You know, they're certainly not going to amnesty him with that much money. They're not going to pay him that much money to not play for them. So they're stuck really uncomfortably close to the tax line right now, and the moves you're making are a reaction to that.
See, Larry, the thing that frustrates fans is just trying to figure out, when you're cash strapped like the Bulls, what does that do for your franchise? I still say that as is, the Bulls are good enough to win at least one playoff series, because Atlanta's going backwards, Orlando eventually going backwards without Dwight Howard if that trade takes place. So the Bulls are still a decent enough franchise, but, you know, the Bulls fans want to see them close to Miami, and that's just not going to happen in the next couple of years.
You're right, and I think that that's what you're going to see over the next couple of years, is that the financial model of a team with lots of good players might not be doable anymore. In the new market that's created by this new collective bargaining agreement, you could see that, you know, maybe one big star or two, if surrounded by a couple of lesser players, it is going to be a model that, because that's what is what's affordable, and that's what teams can, you know, sustainably pay over a long period of time, that's going to be the model that's going to win championships. So, you know, you could say that the three-star model like Miami has, and, you know, the Lakers have, you know, that could be a thing in the past.
Larry, I want to clear one thing up real quickly before you get out of here. The Bulls are over the cap. We know that, and we know they don't want to go on luxury tax if they can help it. What can they offer any free agent at this point to bring them to Chicago to fill out the rest of their roster?
They still have a mid-level exception. They still have a biannual exception. It's, are they going to be willing to spend it? You know, they can't spend those exceptions above $74 million, and they're right about $70 million now. So they can't really spend the full mid-level, but they can spend, you know, the $3 million mid-level exception. The other advantage to only spending three on the mid-level and not spending that biannual is that if you spend those, the $5 million mid-level exception and the biannual are exceptions that are reserved for teams that aren't taxpayers. And by taxpayers, they mean teams that are below that apron, that $0.4 million over the tax line, which is $74 million this year. If a team spends those, they're hard capped at $74 million for the whole season. The Bulls definitely don't want to have that, because that could be stifling for a team. A few teams have already spent that, and, you know, they're going to have to live with a hard cap. And if they get to a point where they have injuries and they need to replace people, or a great deal drops into their lap and they need to make a trade to bring on more salary, they're not going to be able to do it. So the Bulls can spend those exceptions, but they can't really go above $74 million. So they have about another $4 million to spend. Now, they're also paying tax on that $4 million. But like you said, this year it's just dollar for dollar.
Larry, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in our intervention.
Thanks, Larry.
Anytime, guys.
Larry Kuhn, ladies and gentlemen. How's that taste, Bulls fans?
Hoodie, we're going to have this on the podcast very shortly.
Yes.
On the website. I almost want to have that on our screen the rest of the year. And just hit play on everything Larry just said. Because it answers all the questions. Now, the Bulls don't want to go on the luxury tax that far. Okay, we all get that. They're going to go in, though, anyway. They have to go in to fill out the rest of their roster.
Right.
They don't have enough money to bring in to keep the Kyle Korvers and the Ronnie Brewers and the C.J. Watsons. They are in cap trouble.
And we're splitting hairs over Darko versus Ashiq? Like that's going to do anything. Seriously? You're not going anywhere. If you weren't in these dire straits financially and you could sign the bench mob back, you're still not beating the Heat because it's Derek and everybody else, and that's not good enough.
And
it just isn't.
Hoodie, as Larry just told us, once you hit a certain level, once you hit that apron of $74 million, then it's a hard cap. Then you just go, uh-oh.
What's the key, though? What's the key what he's saying? No more of this three-star thing anymore? That's going to be going by way of the way the Miami Heat did it, that we won't be seeing that anymore because of the financial, because of the CBA, and because of the financial constraints.
It becomes too punitive
for
many, many teams, the Bulls and lots of other teams included. It's just, it's a hard reality, but I'm glad that he explained it because people need to understand that, yeah, maybe the Bulls don't want to spend as much, but they really don't have much of a choice given their financial situation because of the cap restrictions.
Peter, we may have to re-rack that for the audience, for those that missed it at a 9 o'clock hour, because that was the quintessential breakdown of us basically saying what we've been saying, the Bulls don't have any money. Jonathan and Nick, back after this.
This is Chicago's Game Night. Chicago's Game Night on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
What's up, Chicago, and welcome in. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com, along with Nick Friedel, Jonathan Hood with you, kicking it with you until 10 o'clock with open phone lines at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com, or on Twitter, twitter.com, TweetJHood, or ESPN Shy Bulls as we broadcast live from our Cadillac studios. This one is the
leader. Only one can be the leader. Cadillac, more than ever, America's number one luxury car.
On the show tonight, we'll hear from Trevor Maddich from ESPN's college football analyst. We'll hear from him from ESPNU coming up at 8:40, SEC Media Day, and also his thoughts on Joe Paterno. That's coming up at 8:40. But plenty time for your thoughts as well this hour, 312-332-ESPN. If you missed our conversation with capologist, the NBA salary cap expert, Larry Kuhn, we'll get a chance to hear that coming up at our 9 o'clock hour, because it was good for our Bulls intervention, because there are so many Bulls fans / Sea Red Nation that have no understanding of what was really going on with this Bulls organization. It's one thing to look at Gar Foreman and John Paxson and say this team should be further along than what they are, but it all comes down to your frustration that LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh are in Miami, and the Bulls ended up with Kyle Korver and with Carlos Boozer. That's what it comes down to. You are what you are in this league. The basketball hell actually started that summer. Because you didn't get those three guys or any of those three guys, you got second best, which wasn't a bad thing, but you still need more offensive weapons around Derek. Derek's injured. That retards the progress of the team. Here you are.
Hoodie, here's the thing that fans keep coming up against as well. Do you crush Gar and Pax for where the Bulls stand at the moment? And personally, I don't think they should take that much blame, because by almost all accounts, it seems like LeBron, Bosh, and Wade had decided at the Summer Olympics in Beijing in 2008 that they were going to go all in and go play for Miami and go play together. So the Bulls, Gar and Pax, did the best they could given the circumstances. They got Boozer. He was the next best option. People say, okay, what about David Lee? What about David Lee? David Lee wasn't getting you past LeBron, Bosh, Wade either. So they got Kyle Korver. They got Ronnie Brewer. None of them have been great signings. None of them were terrible signings. The Bulls are just stuck. And as Larry just told us, the Bulls can't even go out and add that many pieces. Everybody's clamoring. The diehard Bulls fans are saying, why not just go add, keep CJ and keep Ronnie and keep Kyle? Keep them all.
I'm not concerned about those guys because those guys are just pieces. When you're looking to try to win games, those guys are not going to be there.
They're not going to help you win a title, Cody.
I mean, C.J. Watson is not going to help Brooklyn win a championship once they become good. Kyle Korver is not going to help the Atlanta Hawks win a championship because they're not ever going to be any good. So, you know, and the same thing with Ashiq. If he's with Houston, Houston's not going to win a championship because of Ashiq. I'm not worried about those parts. I'm really not. I'm concerned with stars and guys that can be around Rose to help him because I think that some Bulls fans are just so jaded and not really understanding what it really comes down to. And what it comes down to is the fact is that you want to catch lightning in a bottle. You don't want to have Derrick Rose scoring 25 a game once he's healthy. Then they look around saying, okay, Luol, are you going to step up tonight? Carlos is you. See, Oklahoma City doesn't have to ask that question. Lakers now don't have to ask that question. San Antonio has to ask that question. They never have to ask that question. Because they know that they have at least three guys that can step up on an offensive night, any night, home or road, that can step up offensively. And that's what it comes down to. This conversation about Darko and Amnesty Boozer, hey, Larry Kuhn just explained. If you Amnesty Boozer, first of all, if you do that, you just believe in your heart of hearts that Taj Gibson's going to give you 17 points a game. That's not a given. It's not a given. As much as I like Taj and his energy coming off the bench, you need Carlos Boozer's offense because you amnesty him, and then you have Gibson in that spot. Who's the next man up then? Now you got a hole.
Third and one.
So it's nonsense. It's what you are. You're just right now. You're an average basketball team looking in 2 years to be able to get better. That's what it is. All this other conversation, that nonsense, it just doesn't make any difference to me. It really doesn't.
Well, and that's where the frustration comes in, Hoodie, because the Bulls were so close. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals. If Derrick doesn't go down with a knee injury a couple months ago, they're probably in the Eastern Conference Finals again. But it's over now. It's over. The window hasn't completely shut, but it's closed for right now. And Bulls fans just have to accept where they're at and hope that Gar and Pax have a better plan in place to land either free agents or a guy in a trade down the line. But they're stuck. And it's in more ways than going in or out of the luxury tax. They're just jammed.
Carmen, you see this on Twitter? Carmen says, don't worry, the Darko era begins soon. Mark in Plainfield just hung up the phone. I went to you, and you hung up the phone. Instead, I go to Chatham. Lewis is on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan and Nick. Hello, Lewis.
Hi, guys. Now, my problem, I don't care about Omer Sheik and all the little parts. I don't have any faith in Garfunkel, John Pack, whoever, both of them. I have no faith in them to make the correct move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if Dwight Howard walked to them with a suitcase talking about signing me. I think they will find a reason not to do it. I have no faith in them to make the right old moves. And one more thing, Taj Gibson, he's not a starter in this league. Taj Gibson is right for what he's doing coming off the bench. I think not that somebody won't start him at some time in his career. I don't think he's a starter.
Well, that's a very rare opinion, isn't it?
From Bulls Nation?
That's rare.
Because everybody, Hoodie, it seems, wants Taj to start for Carlos and Carlos to be amnestied. But I'm telling you right now, as long as Carlos Boozer is wearing a Bulls uniform, he's going to start. The Bulls love Taj Gibson. He is beloved in the locker room. He's beloved by the executives that call the shots. They don't believe that he is a starter on this team that can get you 15 or 17 points and 10 rebounds a night.
Jeff, why don't you just call Jeff Smith from @lovetrain.org? Why don't you just call us? Because all these tweets just don't make sense. I mean, this whole thing where if you dislike Carlos Boozer because he doesn't give you defense, cool, that's fine. So if you amnesty him, all you have is, what did he say, $3 million? What did Larry Kuhn say? You got about $3 million anyway. And again, if you're amnestying him and you bring in Taj Gibson, you're still not anywhere close to a championship. You just want Boozer off the team because it makes you feel good. Guess what? The Bulls aren't about you. It's about the organization. Just call us. If you don't keep tweeting us, just call us. Because you got about 12 tweets, and we're not going to answer everything that you're at. Just call us. We'll put you right up. Because all these tweets and talking about we're wrong and where the basketball hell starts, just call us. I'd rather for you to do that than just keep tweeting us over and over again.
Hoodie, it's the hardest part for for Bulls fans to accept, because they know, even the most ardent supporters know, that there's not a move to make right now.
They don't understand that, though. And now we can get to a conversation about John Paxson and Gar Foreman. I'm all for that. If you feel that they're not getting the job done, that's a great conversation to have. That's fine. But keep in mind, those are the same guys that wanted Dwight Howard probably at one point. They definitely wanted LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And that, unfortunately, those guys went to Miami. They decided this years ago.
It was 4 years ago. We're almost on the anniversary.
Even though I like Jeff Smith's, I like the Love Train and the OJs. I love that background. If nothing else, I like that. 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. I do like that background. You get on Twitter. It is pretty sweet. I do like that a lot. Sam in Portage Park on ESPN 1000. Hello, Sam.
Hello.
Yes, Sam.
I wanted to make a suggestion. How about the Bulls? Like, they amnesty Carlos Boozer, and they start Taj and use Boozer's money to get a new bench mob.
Carlos Boozer's going to be with his ball club next year. So that's not going to work. I see. Are you laughing at Greenberg? I just saw this.
Yep. Look, Carlos.
I'm not hosting the Bill Cunningham show. It's not the Bill Cunningham show.
Carlos Boozer is staying with the Bulls. He's staying with the Bulls this year. Will he be amnestied next summer?
Probably.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. Will he be amnestied two summers from now? It's
yes.
A guarantee.
Yes.
It is a guarantee. Run to Vegas. Put the money down. But Carlos Boozer is your starting power forward for the Chicago Bulls on opening night. It's a lock.
I'm waiting for Jeff Smith to call us. I'd rather for him just to call us. That way we can answer all of his questions. That's all. And I don't believe in this rebuilding stuff, too. I get that every now and then, too. I know you get that, too, on Twitter. I don't believe in that rebuilding nonsense. The last thing I want to do is watch the Bulls be Detroit. Why would I want that? Derrick Rose and a bunch of rookies, the Bulls are better than that.
Right. Well, and that's the part I don't understand right now, Hoodie. Everybody wants to say, all right, well, then if you're going to gut it and blow it up, just blow it up. Why? You still have Derrick Rose. Luol Deng comes off the books in two summers. Carlos Boozer will be amnestied. Taj Gibson, if you redo his deal, will still be there, and so will Joakim Noah. So
right.
Your assets are Taj and Joakim and Nikola Mirotic if he comes over from Europe, and that Charlotte pick that could become unprotected in a few years. Those are your assets. You pair them up with Derek, and you see what you can do either via trade or in free agency. But you can't rush that process to just unload them because, they're not going to win. Then you're terrible. Why do that?
And when you want Gar Foreman and John Paxson to be fired, you're still going to be in that basketball hell. You're
right.
Still in financial straits.
They're stuck. Are stuck. The Bulls are stuck.
It's funny to me. Well, by the way, I'd like to know, listen, I'd rather be a Bulls fan in part of C Red Nation and watch Derrick Rose when he comes back and watch the Bulls get in the playoffs. I'd rather be that rooting for that team than the Houston Rockets right now.
Oh.
Houston really believes that they're all world, don't they?
Who in the world? Who in the world? But somebody from Houston, call us, Hoodie. Who thinks we got Omer Asik and Jeremy Lin for $50 million? Championship. I feel like I'm watching one of those fantasy football commercials. Championship. Who thinks that?
Dude.
Who thinks we got Lin and Asik for $50 million? Championship.
I don't know what they're doing, but I would rather be a Bulls fan than a Rockets fan. Them moving their franchise, Louis Scola, who was picked up by Phoenix, he was the guy. You've been in Houston, so you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the drawing card in Houston.
That's right.
And you amnestied him.
He's gone.
Okay, never mind that he was a double-double machine. Forget about that. You amnestied him, right? You waived John Luer, Bulls killer John Luer, when he was with Milwaukee last season, and Jerome Jordan. Okay, that just happened just moments ago. That was a trade, by the way. Luer joined the Rockets in a trade with the Milwaukee Bucks while Jordan was acquired by Houston from the Knicks as part of the Marcus Camby signing trade deal on July 11th. I would rather be a Bulls fan than to deal with that nonsense.
Yeah. Let's start over. We got Omer. We got Jeremy Lin.
Oh, I hear you.
And Dwight Howard and Chandler Parsons. I'll tell you what you got, Houston. You got a second-round exit, maybe in the first round. And you've gutted your team for that. Yikes.
Man.
Championship.
Yeah. You're not going anywhere.
Find that guy.
I'll take more of your phone calls. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. The window is closed on the Bulls. No trade in particular, no move, no money that's going to help the Bulls right now. We're trying to help you in this Bulls intervention. Jonathan and Nick back after this.
Chicago's Game Night on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Oh, man. Twitter is a trip tonight. Oh, man. Twitter.com. Tweet Jay Hood or ESPN Shy Bulls. Hit us up on the phone lines as well. 312-332-ESPN. What do you see in front of you?
The intervention. Everybody needs to hug.
It's an intervention.
they need to hug right now.
Yeah. Buddy. We want you to just bring in a chair. You know, there's a chair in the other room. Just slide the chair in across the gym floor and just sit down because we're having an intervention. It's just Nick and I now talking to all of Bulls Nation and C-Red Nation because you guys are in this belief. I'm not saying the entire fan base, but there's a lot of people they're just not understanding that the Bulls are in basketball hell. That's exactly what it is. Go to ESPNChicago.com. Look at Nick's latest offering on the website about the Bulls because it breaks it down. We'll hear from Larry Kuhn coming up in our 9 o'clock hour, the guy who knows about the money, knows about being a salary cap expert. We got it for you. It's just something else. You got to understand that the Bulls aren't going to beat the Heat next year. Is that hitting below the belt? They're not beating the Heat next year.
No.
Or the following year.
No.
They don't have the talent for it.
They're just stuck.
Back to the phone lines we go, and we're going to say hello to David in Lincoln Park on ESPN 1000. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I got a comment on this situation you guys talking about and stuff. And, I mean, let's just be real. I mean, I'm realistic. As much as I would love Dwight Howard and all these guys back and stuff with the Bulls to help us and stuff, it's just not possible and it's not real. We don't got the money or the cap space or anything. So, I mean, a lot of people out there could say what they want, but we just don't. And you guys are right. Korver, Brewer, and Watson are not the answer. They were never the answer. They were just temporary fill-ins. That's all it was. And I'm pretty much glad that they're not bringing them back because they're a disappointment, especially Korver and Watson. So with that said, but I got a little suggestion. I don't know, see what you guys think. I think, honestly, this year coming up, Rose, I don't know, he won't be 100% really even when he comes back in February or March.
Mm-hmm.
Deng is most likely coming back between the same time. So with that said, I mean, I honestly think we should trade Deng now, get his money off our cap space, see what we could get for him. Amnesty Boozer next year. Obviously not this year. We need him, mm-hmm. you know, to bring us some production. And then with that cap space, next year, from what I read online articles, Tyreke Evans will be a free agent, and so would Josh Smith. So might as well try to go for one of them and try to join them with Derrick Rose and see what we could do from there and try to build from there.
Still need money for that, though, right, Nick?
They still don't have enough money. They still wouldn't have enough money because we're forgetting one thing, Hoodie. If the Bulls want to re-up Taj Gibson, as they do, and they've already talked to his agent Mark Bartlestein about it, Taj is going to get $8 or $9 million a year over 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So your money to go after a Tyreke Evans, a Josh Smith, that's gone. That's why they're stuck for 2 years. You and I have been saying it all along since the beginning of the summer. They're stuck. It's just the reality of where they're at.
Rashad in Hyde Park on ESPN 1000. Hello, Rashad.
Jay, Nick, what's going on, guys?
What's cracking?
Hey, I just want to throw a couple things out there. You guys touched on something. I know you're Bulls Nations, man. So I'm looking at the Bulls in a parallel to when Mike got, you know, hurt for that year, man. He had to sit down and he had to watch a lot of bad Bulls basketball. And I'm thinking about the direction of John Paxson, man. He's really conservative as far as the organization. Could they potentially be looking at within the next 2 years instead of trying to get a free agent that really isn't championship caliber to pair with Rose to actually draft some guys that play the style of game that Tibbs and Derek would excel at instead of trying to get patchwork pieces that obviously won't get you over the hump? Because if you look at that Miami team, you know, they got a good 3-4 good years of run in them, man. And what do you think the direction of John and Gary is right now as far as draft or free agents?
Well, you know, I put the draft to the side because the Bulls will always be in the bottom third, I think, for the draft because they're not going to be a horrible basketball team. They will not be on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs. They'll make it. Just what's their shelf life? That's the thing. When it comes to free agents, something that has been talked about here and there And that's regarding Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is a quiet guy. He wants to win a championship. But one thing that Derrick's going to have to do is be able to talk to other guys in the league. And not just, Arizona, I'll play for the Bulls, just want to win. You can't, that doesn't work. You're going to have to start talking to some of these other guys for influence, because I don't know how free agents or agents overall feel about Gar Forman, because he's so new at the job. I know there's some respect for John Paxson across the league, but when it comes to Gar, I don't know what free agents and agents and how they deal. But with Derrick Rose, a star, talking to another star, that might help.
Hoodie, I've talked to Derrick a lot about it in the last few years. He says he's flatly not going to talk to free agents. He's going to have to.
Do you believe him?
Yeah, right now. It's not in his personality to go out and say, you need to do this, you need to do that, please come here and play with me. He thinks that the Bulls sell themselves. He thinks that the city sells itself. And he thinks that any guy who wants to play with him, there shouldn't have to be a pitch. But Derrick is going to have to bite the bullet and just suck it up and put on a recruiting pitch at some point. I mean, it's going to have to happen. I tell you this. Maybe people don't know a lot about Gar. Same goes for Pax, although he's been around the league and he was a player. There is a lot of respect from the upper echelon players in this league for Tom Thibodeau. A ton. Because they know that he's a grinder, that he wants to win, and that he will do anything he can to get his team to where they need to go. So he is going to have to take more of a recruiting approach, but it's going to have to be Derrick who sets the tone. And that's just the reality of NBA life in 2012.
Our serial tweeter, Jeff Smith, finally checked in from Lakeview. We'll get his thoughts after Ray in Sports Center, because he's part of Bulls Nation.
All right.
C-Red Nation. He just believes that the Bulls are that close to getting an NBA championship. We'll get to that coming up. Also still coming our next half hour, we'll talk to Trevor Maddich, a little college football talk, his thoughts about Joe Paterno, and also SEC Media Week, as a matter of fact. Last couple days, we'll get his thoughts on the upcoming college football season. Jonathan and Nick on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's Game Night on ESPN Chicago.
Jonathan and Nick on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Hit us up on Facebook, Facebook.com, or on Twitter, Twitter.com, TweetJHood or ESPN, Shy Bulls, as we have our Bulls intervention tonight, trying to help you all understand that the Bulls don't have no money, broke. If they could put their salary situation on a link card, they would do that, but they can't do that because they don't have any money. That's what it comes down to.
It's the reality of where they're at right now, Hoodie. It's the Bulls' biggest problem for the next 2 years. There's nowhere really for them to go.
We bypassed under the hood for the calls, but we got to get to that at some point. There's some interesting side notes that we got to get to before we're done at 10 o'clock. Let's go back to the phone lines. Look who just checked in. Jeff Smith from Lakeview, who's been a serial tweeter.
Is this Love Train Org?
It is Love Train Org.
Yes.
He joins us here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Nick, J-Hood. Thanks for letting me on. I honestly was trying to call in. The lines were so busy. You guys are popular men in Chicago right now. The White Sox are getting smeared, so you guys are what's going on in the city.
So you just lay out your thoughts. Go ahead.
All right, so I'm a very pragmatic guy. I watch every Bulls game, but I understand that there's certain things you can't control. Like you can't force LeBron or Wade or Bosh to come to Chicago. But there are certain things that I think Bulls management needs to adjust. And the face of the franchise being Gar and Pax is a fundamental problem I have, because in today's NBA, free agency is what dictates the future of your franchise. And we don't have persuasive men in our front office. So when you have a guy like Antoine Jameson taking the veteran's minimum, it sends a message to throughout the league that their management knows what they're doing. And I just don't think the Bulls have that kind of leadership, and they can't convince guys to take less money. They fall in love with their players like Ben Gordon, Danielle Marshall, Omer Asik. I think they need to do something similar to what the Blackhawks did and just completely revamp their management.
Well, I think that's if they continue to go backwards or mediocre, that's something that very well could happen. But Jerry Reinsdorf, you know that he's always very loyal. It took one rebuild for Krause to be let go, you know?
No, I don't disagree. But, you know, I've been listening to Nick throughout the past couple of days, and, you know, he said that we have to clear space for 2014. But my fundamental problem is that come the time in 2014 when we need to convince a guy like Rudy Gay or Danny Granger and hopefully Kevin Love can opt out, I just don't think those guys have the savvy to say, hey, come on, let's join the franchise. I just don't think those guys have the persuasiveness to do so. And I think that's the fundamental problem with the Bulls right now. I don't care about the Boozer amnesty so much. I think that they probably should have done it, because why not let the kids play? And that's why I don't really understand the Heinrich signing, because there's absolutely no downside to letting Marcus Teague play, although I thought they should have traded up for a guy like Perry Jones with more upside. But it's the little things that get to me. And I'm not one of those fans that's saying, let's trade for Kobe Bryant. I'm not irrational like that. I understand what they're trying to do, but I just don't think they can do it with the guys they have in the front office.
Jeff, I tell you this. A lot of people say Pat Riley really pushed that in Miami and helped bring those guys along. But I tell you, more than any upper management guy like a Gar or Pax or Jerry Reinsdorf, the people who are going to sell themselves the most in the league that we are watching right now are the players.
Mm-hmm.
I think it falls on Derek, on Joakim. Joakim was the guy who took out Chris Bosh. Joakim was the guy that was set to tell everybody to come to Chicago. It's got to be Derek Rose more than Gar, more than Pax, more than anybody else, who has to become not only the face of the Bulls on the floor, he's got to become the face of the Bulls off the floor, Hoodie. And in my mind, that means he's got to be the one that sells everybody on coming to Chicago and playing with him, because players want to hear that they can win and that they can win with guys that they trust. And Derek has to come out of his shell a little bit more and become that guy, more so than Gar and Pax in my mind.
Trevor Maddich joins us next. His thoughts on Joe Paterno and also the upcoming college football season. Get back to your phone calls in a little bit. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. It is Nick Friedell and Jonathan.